Michael, do you know what today is?
What is today? Is the first time you've done the show in 3 weeks.
And it's a Thanksgiving miracle.
It is a Thanksgiving miracle.
It is a Thanksgiving miracle. You know, Christmas brings about the ghosts of Christmas past, Christmas future, Christmas present. But this, Michael, this is the ghost of the podcast for Thanksgiving. I'm back. I want to thank Michael for doing the show without me for 2 weeks in a row. 1 week I lost power, and 1 week I got caught in the city doing work because this isn't my regular job. But I'm here now, and you're getting not only a Christmas miracle of me and Michael, but you're getting a baby
Christmas
cast.
Miracle. It's Thanksgiving miracle.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry. Thanksgiving miracle, and it's a baby cast. Kaylin is on baby my lap. Cast. She's being very good right now. I cannot imagine that will last. Oh, boy, Michael. There's just so much to talk about.
So the first thing we should talk about, Joe, is Thanksgiving. Are you an inside stuffing guy or an outside stuffing guy?
Oh, 100% outside stuffing.
Yeah, that's where I am, too.
Yeah, and I'm also I'm a stovetop stuffing guy.
Yeah, me too.
I don't need the fancy. My grandmother makes a fancy stuffing, but it's with, like, giblets. Not a fan of the gibs. Not a fan of the giblets.
And chunks and... Yeah.
So instead...
I kind of like crunchy stuffing. Do you like crunchy stuff?
I like the crunchy top of the stuffing, yes. Yeah. But stovetop... I could eat stovetop now for, like, a meal.
I respect that.
Yeah, you should respect it. The chicken flavor. Chicken-flavored stuffing.
A little chicken.
Kaylin's looking at me like, what is stuffing? You'll know soon enough, young Padawan. You'll know soon enough.
She doesn't even have teeth yet.
She does. She has two front teeth and two bottom teeth. Both of them are in the front. She looks like a beaver. And this is also the dog cast, apparently.
Yeah, it's the Stanley cast.
This
show's off to a good start.
This is great. It's right off the rails. We're a minute and 51 seconds in. Mike, are you a Thanksgiving fan? You a fan of the Thanksgiving holiday?
I like Thanksgiving because it has kind of a purer, modern... It doesn't feel like... You know, I know there's Black Friday, but, like, it's not commercialized as much as Christmas.
You know, it's very interesting. I'm not a huge turkey fan.
I like turkey skin.
My mother-in-law, and I can say this because she will never listen to this podcast. I doubt my mother-in-law even knows this podcast exists. My mother-in-law is a fantastic cook. She's an amazing cook.
Why would you never want her to hear that?
Because she is a terrible Thanksgiving cook. Every year the turkey is dry. I don't know how it's possible. Every single year, it's dry turkey.
What's the gravy game like? Because
the gravy is like the can, like the little jar gravy. It's not even fresh gravy.
Because good gravy, you could right, help you could, out the dry
I mean, this
turkey.
Is a woman who legitimately cooks some of the best meals I've had. Her home-cooked meals. And the turkey's dry. So, I like Thanksgiving. I'm not a huge turkey fan. I love mashed potatoes. I love sweet potatoes in all forms. We do some creamed spinach. That's always good. My family does off Thanksgiving with, like, the cousins the week after so we'll go to my wife's house for Thanksgiving, and then we'll go to my house on Saturday, and we do a nice baked ham for Thanksgiving, which I always appreciate.
Baked ham!
And the pies.
Is it a honey baked ham?
Oh, I do love pies. It is honey baked ham, yes. That's right, Kaylin. Pies. All right, I guess we should talk about hockey, since this is a hockey podcast. The miracle of Thanksgiving. All right, yeah, let's start there.
Yeah, it's a
we're
going
to start with the Spoon Man. So the New York Rangers, I know KK, the New York Rangers acquired Ryan Strome, former fifth overall pick, for Ryan Spooner. The Rangers like Ryans. Mike, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I've been kind of digesting this one, much like a delicious Thanksgiving meal. You see what I did? I don't know.
Thanksgiving miracle.
It's Thanksgiving miracle. It's... In terms of the cap, Strome was less, but the Rangers held on a 900K of Spooner, so it's just a wash. And, you know, I think it's Strome is 18 months younger than Spooner, which is not insignificant, but it's, for the most part, this trade is just kind of, the Rangers get another guy who can play forward with a right-handed shot. They have a guy they'll be more comfortable with in the bottom six, as opposed to sticking kind of a skilled guy in a bottom six role. And it became clear, you know, when, like, Vlad has worked his way up into the top six and Spooner wasn't able to, that, you know, something might happen shortly with Spooner. And right now it's, you know, Joe, he was a fifth overall pick, Strome, and, you know, he was, of course, a New York Islanders fifth overall pick, and so he's a prospect that is not at all unfamiliar to us. You know, covering the Rangers like we do. And so it's a little peculiar. I mean, he's already played, I think, 400 games of NHL hockey. So it's not like he's going to have this amazing second act in his career where suddenly he becomes the prospect he was supposed to be. What I think the Rangers got is a much better two-way player than what Spooner is. Strome has better underlying possession numbers, and that's very encouraging, especially because his numbers in Edmonton were dragged down in a big way by Lucic. My first thought was like, okay, this is fun, you never know. But after looking at it a little closer, I think this trade happened when I was in the car with my brother Connor. At first I was like, oh, that's fun. Got a guy who knows what you can get out of Strome. And after looking at all the numbers and looking at like what Strome has been and what he can be, in my head I'm wondering, why not? I kind of would have preferred just like a second round pick, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but Edmonton probably wasn't willing to give up a second round pick. And listen, in the grand scheme of things, I think one of the most important aspects of this trade is what you mentioned. Someone did a breakdown of Ryan Spooner's most utilized teammate, and it was Kevin Hayes. And Spooner still had possession numbers in the 30s and just a horrific, really a horrific line across the board.
Yeah, his start to this season was absolute dog shit.
Yeah.
And that's not like a well-kept secret.
Well, we knew we were getting good Spooner or bad Spooner, right? Like there was no in between. And the reality of the situation is Strome, the most amount of time that he's had is with Milan Lucic. And he, like I said, Lucic has been terrible, and Strome had really good underlying possession numbers. So I think when you look at this trade, you're right. He's 18 months younger. Is he going to be the 80-point player that the Islanders envisioned when they took him fifth overall? Probably not. But what he is going to be, he's a possible 50-point player, the same way that Spooner was. I mean, Strome was a 50-point player with the Islanders, and then he went to Edmonton, and you know, things kind of took a turn because that's what happens when you go to Edmonton. And at the very least, the Rangers are taking a risk on a guy with more upside than Spooner. The money's a wash, but it's in the two-year window. There's no downside monetarily, even to eating the salary, in the two-year window.
And he's the guy they'd rather roll the dice on and see what they have with. And you know, I listened to, you know, Gorton's press conference, and he said, you know, it kind of became clear that, you know, Spooner was kind of the odd man out, and there was also some talk about Spooner not really showing that second effort or the work ethic that has been kind of what David Quinn has been demanding in his practices and in games from players. And Strome is a guy who's going to, you know, chug and, you know, pump his legs, get, you know, make every coach smile because he's working his tail off. It's just a question of, you know, this trade won't hurt the team. I don't think it helps the team a whole bunch. I like the idea of another right-handed shot. I like the idea of a balanced player who, you know, has a really, really, really outside chance of being someone a little closer to what what the Islanders were hoping he was when they drafted him. But overall, it's fine. I wonder if the Rangers got, you know, this is one of those trades. I don't think anyone really won this trade. Both of these guys needed a change of scenery. That kind of went without saying. But I wonder if, you know, just to kind of play devil's advocate, if the Rangers could have found another partner for a trade with Spooner. And I don't know, Joe. Like, I'm not down on Strome. You know, he's been quiet, you know, early because he's played a game in a period and a half now. We are recording this on, what is this, Joe? Monday night?
Today's Monday. It's the Thanksgiving miracle on Monday, but we're not even 10 minutes into the second period of this Dallas Stars game.
Yeah, so I'm not like blown away by the trade, but at the same time, like you said, it doesn't hurt. And there's a lot of little things he does, and maybe a lot of people, including Brooks, think that this trade is going to mean, you know, Cody McLeod in street clothes watching games instead of being in the lineup, and that's fine.
Yeah, which would be a huge benefit. I mean, if anybody won the trade, you'd have to assume it's the Rangers, even if it's by a slight margin. I think Strome has a little bit more of offensive flair potential in him, but, you know, it's impossible. The trade market wasn't there for Spooner over the summer. I think that's fair. I don't think the Rangers expected him to be back. And while, yes, it would have been lovely to get more for him than they ended up getting. The reality of the situation is Spooner was also off to a horrific start, as Kaylin is proving with her crying.
Yeah,
so
value
I don't know what else you could have done.
Definitely went downhill. Hey, the Rangers scored a goal. That's nice.
You're so much further ahead of me in this game because the Rangers don't even now they have the puck with possession in the zone.
Well, it's Jimmy VC. Sweet little Jimmy.
Oh, little sweet little Jimmy VC. You know, Jimmy VC is putting up some points here, surprisingly. Quite a bit of offense out of Jimmy VC. Sweet boy, Jimmy VC.
We talked about this in the Banter DM group about, you know, Rick Carpinello did his piece for The Athletic about which Rangers players are kind of the most, you know, most likely to be traded and all that. This is a pass from Mark Stahl to Jimmy VC, who did a behind-the-back shot while falling down to beat Ben Bishop. That is just... That's how the Rangers are winning hockey games lately. Just spitting in the eyes of what makes sense.
Yeah, they're definitely... This whole season, I think, has been topsy-turvy in that regard.
Yeah, I don't know. VC, to me, is not a guy who doesn't have trade value. Especially, you know, I think he has at least 20 goals in his stick. Why wouldn't teams want a big guy you can park in front of the net, maybe help a power play? It's got 20 goals in the stick. Why the heck not? I don't know what sort of...
Well, he has trade value in that the Rangers anticipated him to be a top six winger, right, when they got him, and they're continuing to use him like one, which is absolutely fine. There's no reason not to, you know...
7 goals for Jimmy VC.
But he's got 11 points in 20 games. I mean, he's on pace to blow past his 28-point career high, which he recorded last year. And I don't know. I think there is trade value there, but I also don't think the Rangers want to trade him. Which I think is kind of insane, but I mean, ultimately, and here's the thing that I think the Spooner trade kind of brings to the table. The Rangers need to make moves, right? We know they're going to trade, well, they did trade Spooner. We think they're going to trade Nemestikov. We think they're going to trade Zuccarello. We think they're going to trade Hayes. We just don't know who else is in that pile. Is it going to be Jimmy VC? Is it going to be some Mark Stahl? Is it going to be, you know, God willing, Mark Stahl? Are they going to do something with Adam McQuaid? What's the deal with McQuaid now that the defense has sort of settled itself out? And there's so many questions.
Has the defense settled itself out? Because Brady Shea's been a healthy scratch in
So that was the next thing that I was going to mention, Michael. Although that's a good point. I kind of meant Pionk and D'Angelo, but you're right. Yeah. Brady Shea's been a scratch 2 games. I know Mike doesn't like it. I don't like it either, but I want to hear Mike's thoughts on it.
I look at this as, all right, well, what are the realistic expectations for his play? What is he doing that Quinn doesn't like? And it's also kind of maddening to me, is like, let's sit a guy out, right, and let him watch the game from the press box. That's fine. So they win the game against the Panthers, and then, you know, they're playing tonight against Dallas, a team that it would be nice if you had some of your better defensemen in the lineup, and they don't dress the guy... You know, the only defenseman on the team who signed for, you know, any length of time that's significant. Like, Brady Shea isn't going to figure out how to be what the Rangers are paying him to be by sitting in the press box at this point in his career. He's not a kid anymore. I mean, he's young, don't get me wrong, but he's not some, you know, prospect that they invested in prematurely. He's a guy that they need to be a part of this team now and to be part of the solution now. He's 24. And
we can admit that Shea struggled the past few weeks.
Oh, he definitely has. Like, he still hasn't really played to what we wanted him to look like after seeing that amazing rookie season, right? But even with that being said, the Rangers are immediately asked a lot of him. You know, last season, when he was having such a rough year, they traded away McDonough and... They scrapped the season for Shattenkirk, and they made Shea, you know, the foundation and the linchpin of that entire defense. And nothing changed heading into this season. He was the guy that they asked the most out of. And he's 24. Honestly, his game needs a lot of polish still, right? He has all these traits that we love in defensemen. He can skate. He can move the puck. He's big. He's strong. You know, he can contribute on the power play, although we haven't seen him there this year. And I don't know, I don't know what the expectations are for Brady Shea and why he's been scratched twice and Mark Stahl hasn't.
Well, Mark Stahl right now is the only defenseman to not be scratched.
And that to me is just, it's unjustifiable, Joe. I understand how important Mark Stahl is and can be to the team as a leader, and he's kind of the de facto captain right now. I get it. But he has an A on his sweater. He's been playing like garbage. Like, the fact that a lot of these opportunities, that D'Angelo finally found a way back in the lineup because of the McQuaid injury, and these opportunities have opened up. Now we've seen what Friedrich Claesson can do, and he popped in a goal, and that's not at all his game. But honestly, when you look at his underlying numbers, he's so good defensively. And the Rangers, Quinn's has said, I think we have 8 guys who are NHL defensemen right now. But the problem with that is that this defense sucks. And moving forward, you have to be able to kind of figure out which guys from this defense can be a part of this. And which guys does it actually make sense to play? And you made the McQuaid trade. He's been hurt, which has kind of helped simplify things. And with Brady Shea, you made that contract. You signed him to that deal. You traded McDonough. You made the choice with Brady Shea. And it was a contract that made a lot of people nervous for good reason, because he signed it after having a bad year, right? And now it's starting to look like he's found his way into Quinn's doghouse, and that is not good, because Quinn's going to be here for a bit.
But is it Quinn's doghouse? And I'm not defending Quinn on this, because I do think that we're kind of reaching this point of, I don't know, it feels like a carousel almost, you know what I mean? Like, Quinn is proving, hey, everybody's going to get held to the standard of accountability, which, fine, if that's what it is, that's what it is.
But is that true, Joe? I'm not sure.
Well, it's not true with Mark Stahl. But he's really the only one that I can sit here and say, oh, it's not true with Mark Stahl. Because, and let's, I do want to point out, as much as I've been, I think, a Quinn defender in this regard, as Kalen just smashes the TV remote, I do think one of the important things to mention is that, at the very least, Shea was struggling. At the very least, he was struggling.
Oh, he was struggling.
And if Quinn is going to make his decisions based off stuff like that, then that's fine. If we're going to go down that road, that's fine. What I don't like, what really bothers me, is that this is the second game in a row that Shea is sitting. He's signed to an enormous contract. You want him to be a big part of this team. I get the whole, but the other guys who sat out at work, like Buchnevich, and that's fine. But it seems bizarre that tough love is being used on everybody. And, I know there's not one specific way to develop a player, just like there's not one specific way to raise a child. But you don't, he needs the love. He needs to feel the confidence the same way that the rest of the Rangers do, especially because he has a $5 million+ price tag.
I agree. And that's to me, that was also why, what was it, Joe? Like 3 games in a row where Smith was scratched. And of course, he scores his first game.
I feel like it was more than that. But again, and when Smith got scratched, he was struggling. So it is, at the very least, we could say it's fair.
No, we can't say it's fair, because
until Stahl gets scratched,
it's not applied to everyone. So it isn't fair. Like if we're watching, Smith was playing, crappy. He had a great start, and it was recognized and celebrated that he had a great start. But, just playing defense in the National Hockey League is not easy. And playing defense on this team and looking good and not making mistakes is really not easy. This is not a good defense. We knew coming into the season that it wouldn't be. And, what we've learned is that, the difference here is now the Rangers have this issue of quantity over quality. And it appears that Quinn and Gorton are both having a little bit of trouble, identifying what that quality is, but furthermore, trying to identify what traits they want to see in their defensemen. And, for whatever reason, McQuaid, before he got hurt, was showing a lot of the traits that they liked. The guy who will stand up for his teammates and, play very unremarkable and altogether kind of underwhelming hockey. And, Smith was also sticking up for teammates. He was also doing a lot of positive things in terms of being able to jump up in the rush and contributing and, making a difference. But he does make, I think, more glaring mistakes because he has the puck more than Adam McQuaid ever will. And when he makes those mistakes and those turnovers, he gets punished when he's the one being asked, much like Brady Shea is, to do that. And other guys like Mark Stahl are not being asked to do that stuff.
Well, let me ask you a question.
The demands are higher on them.
Now that Spooner's been traded.
Yeah.
Do you think Quinn utilized Spooner the way he did because he knew a trade was coming? And I have no evidence to support or deny this.
I have no evidence to support or deny it, but my gut tells me no, because what have we seen him do with Hedl and with Buchnevich, with Nemesnikov? He honestly, it feels like he's just kind of, his idea of this accountability thing and rotating the lines and, you know, trying to spark guys or trying to move guys around, it's not like, you know, it's not like the days of Vigneault or Tortorella where they just would throw a third liner up on the first line and, you know, just say, like, let's see what happens. I think this is more Quinn just kind of testing all of his players individually and seeing what he has. And that's okay. I mean, he's still new to the job. And even with all the criticism I've given here, I still stress, like, patience is important with David Quinn. He's coached 20 games now. And have there been alarming signs? Yeah, but there's also been some signs that I would categorize as encouraging, or at least, you know, the sort of stuff we would hope to see. I'm not too sure if I'm ready to say, you know, he didn't play Spooner because he felt like he would get gone. I feel like he didn't know what the hell to do with Spooner, because in no way did Ryan Spooner fit David Quinn's style of hockey. Like, he was a, you know, rectangular wheel on the bicycle.
Can a rectangle be a wheel?
Well, that's my whole point. I mean, after a while, it would get smoothed out. The points
it would smooth itself out eventually. I mean, here's the only thing I will say. I think some of my biggest frustrations about Quinn, at the point where I'm like, okay, this situation is critical, he does the right thing. Hedl, Buchnevich, you know, D'Angelo. And in some instances, I mean, listen, I made this
but
point.
He does
I haven't
the right
been on the
when injuries happen.
Well,
though,
I was just about to say, I haven't been on the podcast for I don't know how long. I made a point. I think it was a couple of weeks ago. D'Angelo would not be in this lineup if McQuaid didn't get hurt. And that's unfortunate, because D'Angelo has been, can we say, one of the Rangers' best defensemen?
We can say that.
We could say that. We're allowed.
It's Thanksgiving week.
It's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving miracle.
What are you thankful for, Joe?
I am thankful for my daughter, Michael. And
aww.
You. What are you thankful for? And my wife, I should say that.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, bud.
What are you thankful for? And pie. I'm thankful for pie. And Stanley.
I'm thankful for friends and family and Joe.
Oh,
and
you.
My
girlfriend.
You
know how to butter a guy up.
And
oh, Mackie's getting a shout out on this, huh?
Yeah. And I'm thankful for macaroni and cheese. Oh my God, Henrik, what a glove save.
See, you have to stop saying that. Yeah, I'm thankful for Henrik Lundqvist too. You're way far ahead of me. Like, I'll tell you when Henrik Lundqvist makes the save.
Was
Radulov
eating a banana on the
bench
earlier
in this game? He just made the save.
By the way.
Well, what'd you say?
I think Radulov was caught eating a banana on the Dallas Stars bench earlier in this game.
They need the potassium, man. That's what you do.
Apparently.
Let me ask you a question, and I don't want you to get too in-depth in it, because
I've been
rambling
it is
part of the Thanksgiving questionnaire that we're doing, the roundtable.
Yeah.
What kid has surprised you the most in a positive way?
It's got to be Howden. Howden has done so many little things, and yeah. I know what his possession numbers look like. I also know...
But you know what? His possession numbers aren't good. They're not terrible relative to the team.
Yeah, relative to the team and relative to the role he's played,
they're not good. Yeah. I need to make that clear. But
not good.
If you ever see the stats like Corsi Rell or, you know, Fenwick Rell or goals for Rell, whatever it is, it's relative to the team. So normally 50% is the benchmark, right? In the event of a Corsi Rell, like I think he's a 44% Corsi.
But Joseph, the Rangers Corsi four as a team is 46.39.
And that's what I was going to say. His Corsi is a 44, but if the team is 48, then he's really only a -4.
The team's a 46.
Yeah, the team is a 46 because he's a -2, actually. I looked it up today when I was answering that question. I mean, it's between him and D'Angelo for me, because I really think...
Oh,
and listen...
I appreciate that.
I would put Pionk in there, but... And I do kind of want to talk about this a little bit. Pionk is amazing in the offensive zone. He's putting up offense that I never thought was possible. And I'm going to eat crow on that, because I didn't think he was going to get anywhere near the half a goal... the half a point a game mark, which is where he's at right now. But he is downright awful in his own zone. And that's okay. I don't know why it's not okay to say that. I don't know why it's not okay to say, hey.
He can still be a valuable part of the
team. Right. He's
a
one-way defenseman. He's not going to be the first or the last one-way defenseman.
Yeah, call him a power play specialist. And, you know, I think everyone, you know, that's kind of naysaying him, you know, it's like, okay, well, it's not a bad thing to be a power play specialist, especially as a guy with a right-handed shot. I think the problem is, and this is the real problem, is that, you know, he's been asked to be something that he's not at even strength and in his own zone.
and kind of continuously used that way. I mean, yeah, and tough. Here's the thing. I find it, I haven't complained about it because I want David Quinn to utilize youth, right? That's the most important aspect of this. Yeah. And we're seeing Brett Howden get used properly. We're seeing D'Angelo and Pionk get used properly. Heedle's starting to get used properly. Buchnevich was starting to get used properly. There really are things that I'm very positive on here in the middle of November seeing from David Quinn. I mean, as much as I think we've criticized him on the show and as much as Mike is kind of doing the right thing and playing the devil's advocate, I do think you need to give Quinn positives. A, I did not think the Rangers would be in a playoff position coming up to Thanksgiving. And B, I do think that there are some really good things about the way that he's handling some players. I think he's trying to get his message across. I'm not sure what the end goal is. I find it hard to pass judgment when I know he knows this team is going to look very different in February than it looks right now. And not many teams have that, you know, foresight. But that said, I think that some of the criticism is valid, and I think he's handling certain situations in a way that I wouldn't. Anderson's on the fourth line right now, playing fourth line minutes. That's not okay. That should never happen.
No.
And if you're going to do that, don't bring him up. That was one of the concerns with Hedl. Now, Hedl's getting the ice time, and Anderson isn't. It feels like we're running in circles.
Yeah, and then the Rangers will do a thing where it's like, all right, they send down Lettieri, and that's like, okay, yeah, he was playing pretty crap. And they bring up Stephen Fogarty, and that's like, okay, that's, you know what? You could have brought up Blesky, but I like that they're giving a kid who is playing in the AHL and doing a very good job.
He's playing well, yeah.
He's yeah, great. A chance to – tonight is his second game as a Ranger. He played – I think in the season finale last season. So I like, there are those little signs, right, that, okay, they're trying to reward kids. It just, it's been kind of, you know, instead of using like a rifle, it's kind of been like a shotgun. You don't know where the hell, you know, everything's going to land. And it's been very hard to predict, you know, what we're going to get out of Quinn in terms of the lineup. And, you know, I don't know. I did like that you mentioned D'Angelo before. I think that's important. This is a fun number, Joe. Are you ready for this?
I was born ready.
Yeah, I knew you were born ready. As of this podcast recording, 5-on-5 rookie scoring leaders. It's Elias Pettersson. It's Oscar Lindblom in Philly. And Lindblom is tied with Brett Howden for 9. So.
And guess what?
It's pretty good.
Howden has 10 now because he had an assist on the VC goal.
At 5-on-5? Well, there you go.
I don't think the VC goal was a power play goal.
Well, there you go.
Well, let's see. I'm looking at the box score right now. It was not a power play goal. So
there we go. So
and that's it's Howden has been. I never expected Howden to be this type of player ever. Not in a million years.
Oh yeah, you and I were both high on him heading into the season. We're like, you know what? People are just forgetting about this kid. He was pretty good. Like when we looked at his numbers in juniors, we're like, oh okay, what do we think? They got something here. But we didn't expect a guy who would make this kind of impact immediately at the NHL level. I mean, he's been like, coming into the season. Where was he in terms of just the center prospects depth chart for the Rangers? He was 3. You know, where I think most people would say, big picture, long term, he's still 3. But I don't know. He might be.
I think he might be creeping up on 2. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. And again, I don't want this to be taken as a crap on Elias Anderson. He's doing right now all the things that I wanted from Elias Anderson and expected
yeah,
from him.
That's a good way to put it. I mean, Kaylin doesn't agree. She's crying her little eyes out, but.
She just loves her some Elias Anderson. What else, Michael? What else before we go to questions? This is your show now.
Oh, well, I didn't want to do it, my show.
Well, it's too bad. It's your show.
All right, well, we could talk about the fact that Hedl has 3 goals in 3 games. That's fun. But we've kind of already talked a lot about the kids in general. What else is there to talk about, Joe? We could touch on the whole deadline in terms of, you know, Toronto kind of has to shit or get off the pot with Nylander.
Oh, a little.
And Brooksy's article. And... because I know, I mean, you've been drumming up the Nylander drum.
For 2 years now, well, for really, since yeah. last year. Well, let me ask you this. If Brooks' trade idea of Nylander for Shea and Kreider, do you do it?
Oh, God. God help me.
You're already thinking more than I am. In a friggin' heartbeat, I do it.
I definitely do it.
In a heartbeat. And I get, listen, Kreider coming into this game.
Chris Kreider.
But he has 17 points in 20 games, so there is that, like,
and
you hope to get that
like
boon.
Captain.
Yeah, you get that boon of, like, right now offense. You know what I mean? And then you trade high because that's the way that the shit works. It's just the way that it happens.
The Rangers have so many left-handed deep prospects, and you can get William Nylander, and then you can dictate what you want to sign him for. In this case, you would sign him to be your star forward. And, yeah.
And he would be.
And he would be. And...
and he's 22.
Yeah, that's the other thing. We, you know, we talk about, I just said earlier, you know, Brady Shea's not exactly a kid anymore. He's 24. You'd get William Nylander, who's 22. He has so many years of great hockey ahead of him. Not just good hockey, but great hockey. And, yeah. He can play center. He can play wing. And then if you do Nylander, it's like, all right, you're going to miss Kreider, and you will miss Shea, and the defense will look even worse. But if we're talking rebuild, and that's what matters here, how do you not try and make this happen?
You know what? Let's go into questions, because we have some interesting trade questions.
Okay.
David L. Singer. Is it safe to say that Elias Anderson will never be a better player than either Zibanejad or Hayes are right now? If so, why get rid of Zibby or Hayes to make room for Elias? Michael?
I don't think it's safe to say that yet. Even still, I am very high on both Hayes and Zibanejad. The problem is, it's not as simple as who's the best player today. It's who's the best player going to be when this team reemerges. Because the team as it stands right now is not a Stanley Cup contender. And it's about building back to get there. And I know what their record is, but we also know that they are a terrible puck possession team. We know that Henrik Lundqvist has kept them in games they don't belong in. We know that they're 4-0 in the shootout. You know, we know that there are a lot of things that are eventually going to break, especially when we watch this defense play. I definitely, definitely think it's way, way too early to make any sort of, you know, what's it called, prophecy or, you know, prediction on what's going to happen with Elias Anderson and what his ceiling is. And, yeah, you know, both Zib and Hayes are still kind of young, Joe, but they're not as young as Elias Anderson.
That's the thing. I think, listen, if we're talking in reality, the Rangers would love for Elias Anderson to be Hayes or Zibanejad.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's, you know, and I'm
that
not,
would be a
again,
great deal.
We're not putting a ceiling on him. But that said, Mike is right. It's all about the future, as Kalen is telling you right now. It's all about the future. Elias Anderson is younger, and if you can get that player 5 years from now, where Elias Anderson is 24, and you know Hayes is 31, that makes an enormous, enormous difference.
Yeah.
So, there you go. That's a good question, though, David.
That's a fair question.
I am Pi Fieri. That's a great name. With Fogarty being called up, do you guys think we'll see players like Ronning, Gettinger, or even Gropper Fontaine to get a look with the big club?
Well, probably not Ronning now, right, Joe?
Oh, wait a minute. Fontaine got called up, not Fogarty. The question was Fogarty, but it was Fontaine, wasn't it, that got called up?
No, it was Fogarty.
Was it Fogarty? Oh, I thought it was Fontaine.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. Well, they both start with an F. All right, so I'm wrong. So it was Fogarty. This whole time, I thought it was Fontaine. Yes, and we won't talk about Ronning because Ronning just got sent to the ECHL. Here's the thing, and I tried to warn you all about this, and so did Mike. You have to temper your expectations, and I get it. He scored 60 goals in the WHL. It's all sexy and, you know, oiled up and nice. But in 8 AHL games, he had a goal.
All sexy and oiled
a
up
single
and nice
goal.
Is what you just said on the show.
I did. Just
with
like
your
the,
child
the
on
thigh
your lap.
Gap. She is on my lap playing with the clicker. He had one goal in 8 games. So I think, again, what Mike and I say, if you got 20 goals out of Ronning in the AHL, it would be a huge success.
It would be great.
And it does not look like we're going to get that. So, do I see other guys coming up? Not really. I mean, Gropp. I've been very, very down on Gropp. I don't hide that. I think that it was a bad pick, and the Rangers just were in their just ideology of, oh, we're going to go for size over anything else. He had 21 points in 59 AHL games last year. He has 5 points in 16 games.
He's
right
averaging
now
less than a shot a game.
What is he going to bring to the table that
and
the Rangers
shooter
don't already
that's
get?
All he'll ever really be is Gropp.
I mean,
a shooter,
yeah, more than likely you're going to get Lettieri back up than any of this. But Mike, you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I know I was babbling there. But, you know, it is interesting, you know, because we've seen a couple changes, you know, with Ronning hitting the ECHL. And, of course, Michael Lindqvist, you know, put on waivers and mutual contract extermination. And, you know, it is, there are still some guys there. I feel like it's a very good thing from the organizational standpoint to give Fogarty this chance, especially because the Rangers, I think they let down Boone Jeves, you know, in a big bad way in terms of a guy who's doing everything right and should have been given an opportunity and never really got that opportunity. I hope we get to see, you know, Gettinger or Meskinen get that next opportunity. Because they're going to be more helpful and more important to get a taste of what they look like at the NHL than Peter Holland or Cole Schneider or Bolesky or whoever the hell. I mean, you want to have kids in the AHL in, you know, playing there, Joe, right? And you want them to feel like, if I'm doing everything right here, when an opportunity comes, they're going to call on me. They're not going to call on the 29-year-old guy.
Who's, you absolutely need that to have a successful team.
And you need kids to believe that. You need it to be true. And I want that to be true. And I like that it's Fogarty came up. And to kind of answer the question, I think, you know, Gettinger has done a lot of things right. He's definitely potted a lot of goals early. I don't know what he's done lately, you know, from in terms of the last couple of weeks, but I know he had a great start. And Meskinen, you know, I was always higher on Meskinen than Lindqvist, but I babbled about that last week, so I won't get too much into that. But I like, there's a lot to like in terms of what can happen with this team and getting these kids and doing it right with the AHL. Yeah, I think it's going to be a process, though, Joe. It's going to take a little bit of time.
Well, the Riveters are getting some love on the MSG 150 seconds.
Well, Joe, they lost.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
They lost. I was at that game. When the Blue Shirts Break guys were there.
Oh, were they?
Yeah. Got to see old Ryan and Greg. It was fun.
That's cute. I like Ryan and Greg. Jim Riggins, give me something regarding Nylander. Well, we kind of talked about it before, but I mean,
how about you give me something regarding Nylander?
Are you saying that to Jim or are you saying that to me?
I'm saying that to anybody.
Really. I think Nylander would be the best forward on the Rangers right now.
I don't think that's much of a...
I'm not. I didn't say I was jumping out on a ledge, Michael. I just said that it was the truth. He would be the best forward right now. That's what it is. So, yes, you trade Kreider for him, and if you have to throw Shea in there too, you throw Shea in there too. But, like, the flip side, there have to be teams that are going to give better offers than that. Although, you know what?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know about that.
It's a pretty good deal. I mean, Toronto does need D.
You shore up your defense and you add Chris Kreider.
Yeah.
Who's a 50-point player himself.
Because that's the thing, right? Toronto has this situation where, you know, they lost Van Riemsdyk in free agency. But, like, who gives a fuck because they got Tavares. But now, without Nylander, they've been missing a top-six winger. And that's not good. So you can get a guy who you know is playing well, and a guy like Kreider, who, you know, is not that dissimilar from Van Riemsdyk, and you already know a player like that works really well. And I don't know, it might be tempting. It's kind of tricky to say what Toronto would want in terms of Nylander, because they are a team, they're in win now times, right? So, but they're also a young team, so it feels like giving them guys on the right side of 30, you know, would work. But I think what might hold that up, if anything, is really the Shea contract and whether or not they think it's worth it. That's going to be tough.
Someone made the point. They were like, well, for the almost $10 million that it costs for the two of them, you know, Toronto could just sign Nylander for that total. And that's true.
That is true.
You also have very egotistical players in the game now. And more importantly, you're shoring up the defense and adding a top six winger for the price of a top six, you know, an elite winger. And I get it. I understand why that might not be the best deal on the table, and I'm not even saying that it is. I don't know if I would accept that if I was Toronto. But the one thing that Jeff Gordon has on his side right now, Shea and Kreider are win-now pieces, and they're young enough win-now pieces that you can keep Shea for the next 4 years, and you have Kreider for one more year after this. So I do think there is an inherent value in that offer being on the table. Tom Ertz Jr.
Also, the Leafs can try to dump a contract, maybe like Connor Brown.
Yeah, back to the Rangers. Leafs are just dumping all over the place. That's right, Kalen. Kalen also dumps all over the place because she can't control it.
Ah, that's poop.
Tom Ertz Jr., based on what has happened with the Rangers D, what do you think happens when McQuaid is healthy? Is there a place for him anymore? I don't think so.
You are optimistic, Joseph.
I mean, I know he'll be there. I know he's going to play, but I don't think there's a place for him.
There isn't a place for him. He is going to play, I would imagine. But I would hope that by then we'll definitely see Brady Shea back in the lineup if he's not in Toronto. Fingers crossed. But I don't know.
But who do you take out?
Well, that's the question.
Yeah, at this point, it's Clayson. But Clayson really is in for Shea, right?
Yeah.
So Shea, D'Angelo, Pionk, who? Stahl, since he's going to be there? Then it's what?
Tough. Yeah, I know. I know, Joe.
Are we boring you, Michael?
No, I'm just Sleepy Bear. I'm a Sleepy Bear. I don't know, bud. It's tough because it comes down to how much does this team give a damn about defensive handedness? We've already seen, you know, not too much. You know, the more we understand about the game, it, you know, where does it matter most is really like zone exits and stuff, right? And, okay, but we've also seen that Brandon Smith has been definitely on the good side and bad side of Quinn in a 20-game span, which is not encouraging. The same can be said of D'Angelo, and the same can be said now of Shea. You know, if it was a one-game scratch, I wouldn't say anything, but two in a row is like, oh, okay, well, you know, I know they won and everything, but they're definitely trying to send a message here. I don't know, but I does McQuaid push one of those guys out?
I would hope so. I mean, McQuaid is no use on this team. Yeah, and the only way that McQuaid getting into the lineup,
Quinn likes McQuaid.
Well, Quinn likes McQuaid because McQuaid is a rough and tough guy. But the only defenseman that McQuaid is better than is Stahl, and Stahl's not sitting.
Yeah, that's the problem here.
But you're not going to sit. You're not sitting D'Angelo. You can't sit Pionk. So what happens? It's got to be Smith again, I guess. I mean, Quinn has been on record multiple times of saying he is an NHL defenseman. I don't think that's true.
Nah.
McQuaid is not an NHL defenseman. Mark Stahl is not an NHL defenseman. As much as people are telling you that he is, he's not. You could say it a million times. It doesn't make it true.
So. Mark Stahl has been a very good soldier for this team.
Yes. Again, this is the same. Well, there goes that remote.
We're talking about Mark Stahl, the hockey player, not Mark Stahl.
Right. This is the same exact thing that we discussed with Girardi. They're two completely different aspects.
And Mark Stahl is not an effective NHL defenseman.
I don't know why it's such a hard thing to understand. I love Mark Stahl. He's a goddamn sod farmer. He's on the sod farm.
You know what, Joe? Without those sod farms, we wouldn't have a nice Thanksgiving dinner.
We wouldn't have nice soddy grass. You damn heathens. So, yeah. Jason Silverman. I'm sorry, Silberman. Great podcast. Thank you, sir.
Thanks,
would
Jason.
Any of the Rangers' defensive prospects or young players be considered off-limits in a potential trade? Also, assuming the Rangers sell at the deadline, which defenseman in Hartford would be the next one or two to be recalled? I think
the time for the return of John Gilmore.
Well, he's the answer to the next guy getting called up, especially now that Sean Day's down in the ECHL. But I think at this point, I think Keandre Miller has played himself into the untouchable range right now.
Oh, F yeah. I'm on board with that. I like that take.
F yeah?
F yeah, right in the F.
I thought you were going to yell that you hated the take.
No, man. Keandre Miller has been dynamite. And like when they drafted him, like he was like, yeah, that's the gamble we want. It's good. It's what I want. And now
you go boom or bust. So you go boom or bust, and Keandre Miller is out there busting all over the place.
He's busting. He's just busting.
Gang bust. I mean, 9 points in 12 games for a freshman defenseman.
Around, he would bust those
on games. A very good Wisconsin team for a guy who's only been playing defense for 2 years.
That's just silly.
It's stupid. And he's been one of the University of Wisconsin's best players. He's a lock right now, you would think, for the World Juniors. I mean, the Rangers couldn't have asked for a better start. I think Niles Lundqvist, it's going to take a lot to pull him off just because, again, like we talked about when the Rangers drafted him, how many 18-year-olds do you know are starting every single game in the SHL?
Yeah, that's very special. Obviously, Sean Day's stock is in the trash can. Who else is there? Like, you know, Ryan Lindgren, you know, it's kind of much ado about nothing. He hasn't really been surprising in terms of what he can do and what he can't do. And, yeah, in terms of just putting points up, if we want to talk about guys who can do that, Gilmore has, what is it now, 12 points in 19 games with Hartford, and that's a nice thing. But, yeah, I mean, of all those guys, I think Keandre is the only one who you would just be like, listen, you got to move heaven and earth to make us trade Keandre Miller.
Right. And I don't think that's a stupid take at all. You don't want to sell low. And that's the problem that I think the Rangers Vibor have run into a couple of
three
times.
Three assists in 19 games.
No.
Isn't that great?
No, it's not. Especially because Libor was and look.
He was a bubble guy for the team.
But not even that. He was a shooting machine when he was in the preseason with the Rangers. We're talking like 4 or 5 shots a game. And which is incidentally what Keandre Miller is doing right now for Wisconsin. But like, again, the flip side of this, if Lieber Hayek ends up being a bust, then we're not saying that he is. Obviously he's 20 years old. He's getting used to professional hockey. Does Brett Howden's explosion kind of change the way you look at the trade because of how well he's doing?
Well, and yeah,
I think answer to that has to be a yes.
Yeah, I think when the trade happened, more people were like, oh yeah, Lieber Hayek is the guy that got back that matters. But now, I don't think anyone in the right mind would say that.
Well, that was what a lot of people were saying.
That's what they were saying.
And I'm just looking up Mr. Lundqvist's stats right now. In his 18 SHL games, he has 6 points.
It's pretty damn
solid. A goal and 5 assists. Again, for an 18-year-old, you are talking about a guy who's legitimately, he's a kid.
Second or third best league in the world, depending on who you ask.
He's a young child, just in the arms of
sweet young boy.
The arms of the angel. Average time on ice. That is the name. That is not the thing. Name a more iconic trio than Hedel, Howden, and Pionk. I'll wait. How about Hedel, Howden, and D'Angelo?
Ooh. How about peanut butter and jelly?
No, I hate peanut butter and jelly.
It's not even a trio, really.
It's an abomination. Peanut butter and jelly is an abomination. You have the soggy jelly next to the delicious peanut butter. The savory, creamy peanut butter.
I'm trying to think of other iconic trios. How about Paul Kariya, Teemu Selänne, and Steve Ruchin, former Ranger?
Steve Ruchin.
Those are days.
It's a shame that Paul Kariya was not a New York Ranger. You know, funny story, when the Rangers traded for Peter Sikora, back when they were making the playoffs with Jaromir Jagr, as they were gearing up for the run, mm-hmm. when I saw the line crawl on the bottom of the screen, I thought they traded for Solani. Because I misread it wrong. Because I actually think I'm dyslexic, like where I look at something and I think I see a different word.
You decided not to get that diagnosed by a medical
person. No. Well, it's not. Even if it is, it's not bad enough that like that it affects my daily life.
I want to point out
not
to you that you are a very well-known and renowned sports writer.
All right, now this is getting deep. It's getting deep, Michael. Well, again, how many typos do I have? So there you fucking go. That's the answer.
Yeah, but what if it's all because of dyslexia?
That's totally possible. I have no idea. The flip side, I told my dad, oh my God, the Rangers traded for Teemu Selänne. And my father was like, holy fuck.
Your father saw that you lied and he threw a football.
We're going to be so good. And then I don't remember.
Thanksgiving Day.
Again, it was back in the day when like there was no blogs or anything. It was, you were getting your news in the newspaper the next day.
Yeah.
So I think dad and I.
The news came by owl.
My dad and I were watching the Ranger game, and he was like, where's Selänne? And I was like, no, they definitely traded for him. And he was like, Peter Sikora? And I was like, I guess that was the guy. So, yeah, that was disappointing. Because I do remember my dad saying Teemu Selänne was, and I quote, a goal-scoring machine. And he wasn't wrong.
I have something for you here to kind of give this question its fair due. Who's your favorite Rangers trio? I'll just say should we say post 94? Okay. Your favorite Rangers trio. Mine, Joe. So I'll give you.
Did they have to play on the same team?
Yeah, you dummy. That's the whole point.
Okay.
Mine would be Straka, Nylander, Jagr.
Oh, that's a good one. Can I go.
Dirty dirt.
Can I go Jagr, Nylander, Lundqvist?
Sure, Joe. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Well,
it's not like I'm putting Wayne Gretzky at fucking center.
Yeah, where he played every game of his life. You meant to say
And then
Messier.
Also putting Messier because you put Gretzky on center as a winger. Because, yeah. And I quote, you're trying to win games.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what David Quinn has been saying, and he's the head coach of the New York Rangers.
You're one step away from head coach of the New York Rangers. Final question from Chuck Spadina. I'm not sure if it's the coach or the talent of the team, but this team cannot tank as currently constructed. I'm not sure if they're an above 500 team, but the streak has been fun, to say the least. My question would be, would you rather see the team as currently constructed play out the year, or see the trades come in to preview what some of our prospects can really do?
Trades.
Yeah, the reality is it's trades, but not because you want to see what the prospects can do, because this team, like, you don't want to be in the dreaded middle, and making the playoffs to lose in the first round is the dreaded middle.
Think of this as a race, right? And you have a baby horse, and it's good, but it's sickly, all right? It has horse pneumonia, and you could enter him into a race, even though he'd be coughing and sneezing and wheezing, but you know it's best to say, you know what, we're going to wait until next year for this baby horse to be a little bit better. And that's what you got to do. You got to give the baby horse time to rest if you want to win a race eventually.
Hey, Mike, you know what else you can do to rest?
What else could you do?
You can go to Casper.com.
Oh.
Casper is designed for humans by humans.
Not by ghosts. Not by baby horses with pneumonia. No.
No. Or sickly horses. Human Casper beings. Products are cleverly designed to mimic human curves, providing supportive comfort for all kinds of bodies.
Everyone's very, got curves.
I'm a large curves, body. Jealous.
I've got curves.
You're a small. My wife is a smaller body. I am a large body, so I need the mattress for the curves.
Yeah,
you have the original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amount of both sink and bounce.
Breathable
design helps you sleep, cool, and regulate your body temperature throughout the night. And this is an important one. I talk about this a lot. With over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars across Casper, Amazon, and Google, Casper is becoming the internet's favorite mattress.
Oh.
You know what, Mike? You should all go right now.
Oh, my God. 4 goals in 4 games, Philip Hedl.
Oh, he scored?
Oh, my God.
You should all go right now and take a nap on a Casper mattress because Philip Hedl is a damn monster. Look at him. Affordable prices because Casper cuts the middleman out and sells directly to you. Hassle-free returns if you're not completely satisfied, and delivery right to your door.
Joe, you know what else I heard about Casper mattresses?
What else did you hear?
9 out of 10 private detectives agree that most people don't get murdered in their sleep on a Casper mattress.
Well, that's, you know what? That's a great status.
You know what? On Thanksgiving, you don't want Thanksgiving dinner ruined by saying, hey, where's Aunt Liza?
Yeah, or even more so, oh my God, I didn't sleep well last night because I was not sleeping on a Casper mattress.
Or that.
So here's the deal, Mike. Now is the perfect time to give Casper a try yourself or to gift Casper to somebody you care about. Looking
somebody
for that Black Friday or Cyber Monday deal? Head to Casper.com/savings to save 10% on your entire order with any Casper mattress for a limited time only. This offer expires November 27th. Terms and conditions apply. November 27th. The offer expires on the 27th. That gives you 8 days to go to Casper.com/savings. You need to do it.
Joe, if you were a family member of mine and not just a dear, dear friend, I would get you a mattress so that you didn't get murdered in your sleep.
Well, I like that, Michael. I appreciate that.
You know what?
By the way,
should do that
you can be sure mattress. Of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial.
I want someone to make a mattress. You know how like there's those like kangaroo shoes that have like a little pocket pouch? I want someone to make a mattress that has the built-in like hidden cubby thing, like back in the day when people put money in their mattresses. When they didn't
trust banks. Because they don't trust banks, yes.
Yeah. I'm like, be the mattress company that says, you know what, not only is this a great mattress, but you can, you know, you can hide some money in there if you want.
Well, there you go.
Maybe hide some of those terrific savings.
Yeah, exactly. You hide the savings from the mattress. All right, Michael, that's it for the questions.
Oh.
Is there anything else you wanted to talk about for this Rangers year? Now that
turkey.
The baby's not on my lap?
Turkey, white meat or dark meat?
Oh, white meat all the way.
I like white meat too, but I need a little bit of that dark meat.
Just
like
a little bit of the wing meat? That's what you need?
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't mind dark meat.
Do you eat
the
skin?
I do eat the skin.
I love the skin.
So you want to hear a fun story?
Yeah.
How do you like your turkey, Michael?
Not dry.
Well, other than not dry.
Your wife's mother prepares it.
Do you like it smoked? Do you like it fried?
Ooh, I like it always, really.
Huh. It's interesting.
I'm not big on a turkey burger.
Let me tell you a story about young Joseph.
Young Joe.
Young Joseph and his father walked down the street to our neighbor's house.
A cherub-like face.
Who is the nicest guy in the world, but a complete psychopath.
And he murdered people in their sleep.
My neighbor, who will remain nameless, I'm not going to give his name out. Let me just say that they're
Donald Von
they're Katten. Relatively famous on Long Island. That's all I'll say.
They were Mr. and Mrs.
We went to his house, and on the front lawn, we saw him on a 10-foot ladder. slowly lowering a turkey into a bubbling cauldron of oil. And my dad said, oh, what are you doing? And my neighbor goes, oh, I'm deep frying a frozen turkey. And then in his parenting instinct, my father immediately grabbed me with a hand like you would stop somebody in the passenger seat of flying forward and began pushing me away as we backed up slowly. And my dad said, you can't, we'll just call him Arnold. Arnold, you can't deep fry a frozen turkey. The turkey has to be dry. And Arnold was like, no, no, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Mike, he dropped this turkey into the fucking vat of oil. It fucking exploded.
Yeah.
His entire lawn was on fire from the oil. He got blown off the goddamn ladder across the driveway. We had to run over and pull him out of the flames. I'm literally 12 years old. Pull him out of the flames. His wife comes running out of the house screaming. Fire department came, and nobody got to eat the turkey, obviously, because the turkey didn't even cook. It just exploded.
Yeah, science will do that. You got to listen to science.
That's my Thanksgiving miracle story.
That's pretty good.
That was Stanley's ball. Do you have a Thanksgiving miracle story?
I'm trying to think of one.
About an exploding turkey? Oh, here, you want to hear another fun fact?
Yeah.
You'll really appreciate this one. On not one, but two separate occasions, the Fortunatos have dined on a three-legged turkey on Thanksgiving.
A three-legged turkey?
It had an extra leg.
What the fuck are you talking
Mike,
about?
Mike, on not one, two separate occasions.
Was this intentional?
No, we purchased the turkey from a place in Brooklyn.
Only to discover...
It had three legs. Twice. Two times.
Two times?
On two separate occasions. In my lifetime.
Oh, no.
Two separate occasions, we have dined on a three-legged turkey.
Do me a favor, real quick, just check how many fingers and toes your daughter has for me.
We did the anatomy test. I believe she has 5, 5, 5, and 5.
Okay, but like if she grows gills or something.
I'll let you know. Well, I was a child the last time that we had the three-legged turkey.
I know,
long before I met Brittany.
I've read enough X-Men comics to know that the mutant gene activates sometime around puberty. So just keep an eye out.
My two separate occasions. Think about that.
That's absurd. I've Twice, heard of like, I thought you were going to say you were having like a turducken. You know what I mean? And I was like, okay.
Two separate occasions.
That would be six legs. So what happened? You got half a turducken? No. You had this two mutant turkeys.
Two mutant turkey legs. And they were delicious. The extra leg was delicious.
Life. Was the extra leg pumping? Like,
it was a normal, like on like both muscle? Occasions, it was a normal leg.
It wasn't atrophied?
A third normal leg.
This isn't true. You're lying.
Mike, I swear.
Swear on Thanksgiving.
I swear on Thanksgiving. On two separate occasions.
I believe you got
the Fortunato family has dined, both of them in Brooklyn, on a three-legged turkey.
That has to be how we end the show. We can't beat that.
Brittany says, I'm sorry. Can you say the first fact again?
Fact one.
Do not buy a turkey from Brooklyn. That's going to be racist to the Brooklyn followers who listen to us.
Well, Brooklyn isn't a race, but keep going.
Britt's saying it's because of the hormones that they put in the turkey.
Ah, the hormones.
Now you have eaten all those hormones.
Now we've eaten those hormones.
Yeah.
She says it's gross. But I was a kid. I was a young child. I was a strapping lad. It's what made me strong.
And after that, after you ate those turkeys, Joe? You got words mixed up in your head, and you developed dyslexia.
That's true. Listen, it is why I suddenly developed superpowers. All right, Mike, I've given two, one very embarrassing Thanksgiving story. We need one from you.
I recall, the only one I really remember is at one Thanksgiving, I put so much food on my plate because I decided that I was not going to get up for seconds. But I put so much food on my plate that I made like layers of food, and everyone laughed at me. And that was a fun thing to happen to a chubby little kid.
That's just sad. That's not a fun story.
Well, I didn't say it was fun.
I was expecting a fun, laughing story.
I remember I was very slow to convert to the school of gravy, but I'm a proud gravy boy now.
What are you doing right now? These are nothing. None of this is fun.
I don't know. My family's Thanksgivings are just kind of sharing stories and nothing... Not a lot of mutant birds involved. There's a lot of talk about stuffing and the eternal debate about inside or outside stuffing.
And what did you say you were? You're an outside stuffing guy.
Outside.
Who invented stuffing in the butt?
I don't know, but people are like, oh no, you get all the drippings and all the stuff from the turkey. I'm like, I don't want soggy stuffing.
No, I don't want soggy stuffing either. I also
I
think
don't
that, like,
just want butt juice.
I think about this often. There are just aspects of life that we take for granted that some brave soul had to do first.
Oh, yeah, like the guy who ate the first oyster.
Right, the guy who ate the first oyster. The person who ate the first egg, like, oh, this came out of a chicken's ass.
The first Let's guy who looked like. At a human eye and said, you know what, I can perform surgery on that. Everything will be fine.
Yeah, that's a...
Give me a fork. Maude, like, give me a fork.
You don't want to have children anymore? Let me see your penis. I'll take care of this.
Yeah, I'll try a vasectomy yeah, real we'll quick just here.
They didn't even know what it was called. And
an exacto knife
maybe more
and
importantly,
the lighter.
The brave soul who said, sure, you can do that to my penis.
Yeah.
Because that man is the true hero.
That's
so, yes.
That is a hero. Or he was dead in a cadaver, and they just experimented.
But then how would you know if it worked?
It's, you know what, Joe? God damn it, you got me there.
That's a great point, isn't it?
You'd never know. You know what they would do? They would put a baboon heart in the cadaver, and then...
and it would just, it would forcibly just pump baboon it. Blood? Yeah.
Yeah, or a pig heart, I think.
Well, Michael, this has been a wonderful show.
Yeah, it's been a wonderful show. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you.
Happy Thanksgiving, one and all.
Mike, favorite pie on Thanksgiving?
It's got to be apple.
Oh, apple's a good choice. Like every it. Year,
I
without
want
fail.
Brown cinnamon. You know, I want cinnamon and brown sugar. And, oh, I want it to be warm and sweet, Joe.
Every year, without fail, I look at pecan pie and I look at pumpkin pie and I go, huh, I've never had either of those before. And then I eat
apple.
A slice and I realize I hate pecan pie. I don't like it. And pumpkin pie, really, I'm not a huge fan of.
You see, I see all those pies, but then I see apple. There's the old reliable with its sultry, sultry crust. And I say, I know what I want. Johnny
Brit's,
Appleseed wasn't
Brit's yelling at me. She goes, oh, you think you've never had this? Yes, every year. I will do it this year on Thanksgiving. I will look at pecan pie and I will look at pumpkin pie, even after telling this story. And I'll go, huh, I've never had that before. I wonder what it tastes like. Even now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, well, I have to have a slice of pecan pie. I don't know what it tastes like. Even right now, telling
the story.
Do
you do cranberry sauce? Are you a cranberry man?
I do like... I'm not a huge cranberry sauce fan, but I do like... Brittany loves cranberry sauce. Brittany loves the cranberry sauce out of the can that comes out shaped like the can with, like,
the
goddamn can impressions in it where you can just slice it. She's nodding
her
head right
now. That's
real.
That's America.
Actually, it's a Thanksgiving tradition. Thanksgiving doesn't start until Brittany opens the can up and eats it whole. She just pours it into her mouth.
I mean, cranberry sauce is fucking...
You know what? I do enjoy it. My mother-in-law also makes, I think, she makes a red cabbage, right? Your mom makes a red cabbage? Yeah. And it's really good.
You should tell Brittany what you think of her mother's turkey cook.
Oh, she knows. I'm not going to repeat it, though.
What?
It can never be known.
What?
All right. Yeah. Well, oh, wait a minute. We have to do Patreon.
No, you're going to not tell your wife now and make the show awkward. Good job.
You're goddamn right, because I'm not getting myself in trouble. Fuck that. Patreon.com. Remember, patreon.com/blueshirtbanter. You can donate to us, and you should leave podcasting to the professionals. I think Mike and I have proven that this is what happens when a professional does it. You can't do it. So,
yeah, it's lightning in a bottle, folks.
It's lightning in a bottle. You're goddamn right.
It's
Gardner, Alexander Ricard, Armayo Kistner, Andre Chicagoff, Anthony Viola, Arch Williams, Bob Kawa, Chris B., Chris Habibi. Happy Thanksgiving, Chris Habibi. You're a friend of Mike's.
Happy
Chuck Spadina, Dan Carosi, Daniel DeGen, Danny Santiago, David L. Singer, who
Happy
asked the question today,
one
Eric Cohn, Fancy Lawrence, best name, Gabriel Vargas, 50, Igor Zatlovsky, James Dangles, John J. Porter, John Reppy, Johnny Alo, Keith Franchillo, Matt Bader, Guy from Montana, Michael Silvers, the hype man of the Bantering the Blue Shirts podcast, Mike Offit, Robert Courtney, Stink Fleeman, Tall Guy Robert, Thomas Osa, Trevor Kempner, and Zachary Zetlin. Thank you all for donating.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys, more than everybody who doesn't donate.
A little extra happy Thanksgiving.
That's what Mike said.
A little extra gravy.
We love you all.
Bye-bye.
Three-legged turkey.